It's okay.
Oh, look at that. And good afternoon. We seem to have some technical difficulties this afternoon, but it looks like now we're streaming both sides, so this is a good thing. Yay. And we're live and we're going forward. This is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston. And this afternoon it is, now I'm going to have forgotten again, Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways.
Yeah! The crowd goes wild.
And yes, Tim's very happy that I remember the name of the show. And well, welcome, Tim. I don't know exactly what today's going to be about. It's going to be just Tim and I, and we are going to... We're just going to have some fun, so
yes.
let's begin. I know you've gotten into a nice little conversation there, and then everything disconnected, who knows, whatever.
You know what? It was absolutely perfect.
It was brilliant.
It was, and it's very apropos for the subject that I was thinking of, and what I'm going to talk about today, and what I'm going to get you to talk about, actually.
Oh, yeah,
and that's the pitfalls of when things don't go quite according to plan. And when we move forward, so for the past 6 months here on Traveler Seekers and Wandering Ways, we've been talking to people who are living their authentic life and they're moving forward and they're helping people. So we've learned about, you know, we've had insight into some of the inspiration of these people. And as somebody who has your own business, Lori, and the web radio programs and all of the other marvelous things that you do, I'd like to share with people some of the pitfalls and some of the lessons that you've learned. And this is one of the lessons right here, because obviously we had a disconnect and technical problems right here. So it's a pitfall. So sometimes is it the pitfall itself, or in this instance, where is external? And we're going to get into a whole bunch of different things, I hope, anyway. We have time to get into it all as my mind starts whirring around all the thoughts I have. And I was listening to, just coming in, I was listening to Adam Lambert singing Mad World. And one of the lines in the song is, "What's my lesson?" So today, just on that simple thing, because I know this hasn't happened in a while, is there a lesson in this technical glitch that's happened?
Oh, well... you know, that's an interesting question. I certainly have pondered it many times, as there have been frequent different issues, different times at different points. And this particular one where it just disconnected hasn't actually happened in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to do it a lot.
Right.
And it used to do it usually right before a show. And mm-hmm. I would have to be frantically on the phone trying to figure out why my stream wasn't working. And... yeah, so that hasn't happened in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It is a glitch, obviously, with the live stream that every once in a while they go down.
Right.
Now, I don't air very often, so the fact that it goes down right before a show, there were other problems that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
What is the lesson? You know, in the beginning they would say, well, you know, put music on like a half an hour before.
Right.
So I did that 45 mm-hmm. minutes before, and it was playing fine until right as we started. So that didn't help, but it would have helped if it had been something on their end that I would have had to call and say, you know, what's the problem?
What's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I've also had Vista problems. I've had many different computer-related issues mm-hmm. with regards to the show, with regards to, you know, being heard.
Mm-hmm.
And getting out there. So I think probably the message has something to do with, you know, my belief around, you know, am I being heard? Am I
mm-hmm.
being...
Is that available? And I think oftentimes as travelers and seekers, we look for... we search inside to see what we're doing. You know, what... aspects of ourselves might be holding us back from being heard.
Right. Well, when it's a belief, you know, those are the tricky areas. When you
mm-hmm.
have beliefs around, you know, separation, or beliefs around, one of the big ones that we've been talking about this month on the My CBS show has been the belief where we feel we have to do everything on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And when that is a belief that you hold, it sort of has a double-edged sword, because we know that you know, at these times, because everything is changing so dramatically, we can't do everything on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have that kind of broad spectrum of knowledge to be able to do everything on my own. I mean, I wouldn't be able to have a computer website that would work if it was left up to me to actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all of the updates, no problem.
Right.
Getting, you know, the shows up, everything down. No, I've learned all that stuff. Not that I really wanted to. As somebody recently wanted to be a producer, and I'm like, okay, seriously? Like, do you really know what the producer does? Like, it may sound like this nice little title, but, you know, it really has to do a lot of work.
Well, yeah. Because it's like a one-man band.
Yeah.
You're not just playing the drums or the guitar. You have everything, and you're trying to create a symphony for yourself, you know, and around yourself. So sometimes, you know, we're not octopus, and we don't have eight limbs, you know. It would be nice at times that, you know, that we could do that. And I know for myself, it's the same thing. And I question as well. So when we have that, when we question that inside of ourselves and look, is this part of what my dynamic is that's preventing this from being given into the world or being shared within the world? Does that, if we have that question, does not that question itself sort of become the intention behind something that is external in happening? So, for example, with that today, am I being, if we're saying, am I being heard, then would that not, that intent, that thought in the in our heads, in our minds, what translates into our hearts, do you think that has an impact on the external, in this instance, for the computer?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that was what I was meaning about our beliefs, because our beliefs are what create. If we know what our bottom line beliefs are, that will be, you know, how things play out. Our experiences are always showing us what our beliefs are. So you just have to look at your life to know what your beliefs are, because they will become obvious as to where you are moving forward and where you are not moving forward.
Right. Okay.
So sure.
So I'm wondering, based on your experience now, because you said when this used to happen before, you'd be frantically on the phone. Now, I observed something much different today, because it was just, okay, well, that's fine. We'll just record this and we'll play it later. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So now, what has the experience, or the experiences that you've had, how does that impact how you respond or react within those situations?
Well, yeah, I do work on myself constantly, so I'm always aware of when, you know, issues come up that are mine and how I respond to them and react to them. And yes, in the past, it would have me frantic, and I'd be, oh, well, I have to have my show play on the right time, and it was always such an issue. But now it's obviously changed a lot, and I've become a lot more unconcerned about whether or not something gets aired at the right time and whether somebody even shows up. It doesn't really bother me the way it used to. So the impact, of course, was that we were only down for maybe a minute, so it wasn't quite as big an issue, but it did, you know, it did show itself. So yes, obviously, the way we respond to things, if we are more in control and we're not letting it affect us, then we can observe it.
Mm-hmm.
And through the observation, then we can see where we still may hold things, even though we're not responding in the same way.
Same way. Okay. So I'm wondering as well, and this might be just semantics, but is it managing our expectations, or is it a realization of our attachment and learning to detach from that?
You know, I think our mind and our ego is constant. And I know that the ego is completely here for protection, in that it just replays those scenes that in the past have caused anxiety. And when they see something like that happening again, it brings up the same type of reaction if you're unconscious. Mm-hmm. If you're conscious, then obviously you're seeing it from the observer's point of view and you're not responding in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the mind and the ego still replay those same emotions, those same things, and it's up to us as to how we respond to them. There used to be a time where I thought we would be able to completely heal these issues. Mm-hmm. And now there's a part of me that wonders, is it really something we heal and then it goes away and we never actually ever have to worry about it again? Or is it just how we respond to it that changes?
Mm-hmm.
Because things around us are going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not, we have no control. We think our ego would like to have control over everything.
Right.
And mm-hmm. we don't. We can't have control over anything. The only control we have, of course, is how we respond.
That's right.
And so those
internal mechanisms.
Yeah.
I guess,
those things that are going to happen are going to happen.
Mm hmm.
And it really is going to be how we respond to them and what actions we take, whether it is something that requires an action or not, or mm-hmm. whether it's just a response that we need to observe.
Observe, right. Okay. Well, because that's very interesting, because that's, and it's the whole premise for why I wanted to talk about this, is because we have these realizations that come upon us, and they can be like the light bulb going off or whatever metaphor you want to use. And when you become the observer and that witness, it's really interesting to see, because the things around you become a lot clearer. So the externals become a lot clearer? Is that kind of how you see things?
Yeah, I mean, they become a lot clearer as long as you don't get caught up in it. I mean, there are still things that, you know, I'm definitely still human, so mm-hmm. I still can get caught up in everyday life
yeah.
and wonder what is going on and what am I supposed to do. And so my mind wants to fix it,
mm-hmm.
wants to right. come up with a solution.
Right.
And I think what's been happening lately is that because there is so much change happening planetary-wise
mm-hmm.
and so much going on that we really don't, like, we have absolutely no control and we don't know what's mm-hmm. happening. And the biggest mm-hmm. thing we need to be able to do is to just surrender it, not mm-hmm. go into our head and try and think of what can I do, but to just, you know, drop our consciousness down into our heart and just be and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, come from that place, because that place doesn't have the same fear and pain and it doesn't have any.
I had the most amazing experience with frustration and anger over the past couple of weeks. And it's very similar to what you're talking about, because I keep sliding in my chair
okay.
and going down, poor Lord. And it was really interesting, because it's the observer and the witness.
Yeah.
And I find that quite fascinating. And everybody has their own experience of it. And people on the outside will have a different perspective than what we do as an individual, which is quite wonderful, because it shows the many colors of the rainbow, or, you know, a prism of light, and just the many aspects of we are as people. So in this experience, I could feel my anger. My upbringing was to be very loud, very brash, and very expletive about what was going on. And I found myself, and I actually could feel that emotion and how it was inside of me. It was no longer external, and it was a control that I felt. And rather than allowing it to go up and out, it was being able to ground it mm-hmm. and to be able to move it into the ground, that energy into the ground. And often when we get angry, or we get, you know, when frustration turns into anger and we hit that state before we get into blind rage where nothing exists, except that rage that can be sent out in all directions and probably misdirected in a lot of cases. This was really wonderful experience where I felt this moving down into the ground, and it actually changed. It changed from anger and frustration, and it moved into love. And it was, and from that, it was tears of joy. And that expression, so rather than going the brash and harsh and blunt and all of those other things, and, you know, wild cursing and all of those things, it was really a tremendous experience to have that and to feel it, to have a real sensation of it.
And I think part of why that was so profound for you is that you actually, one, authentically allowed yourself to experience that. And I think the big thing that happens these days, and for a lot of us, is that, you know, we've been taught to be good. You know, you don't go into that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've created all these walls, and we've created, you know, these masks, and, you know, good girls don't get angry. So, and I'm sure good boys don't, although boys, it's a little bit more acceptable to be angry and to air your anger. But typically what we're not doing is to getting into, you know, what the real, true, authentic nature of the expression was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very similar to, you know, a child who has a temper tantrum. They need to be able to move it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a child, they know how to move it by just expressing it and getting it out. And it's short and it's quick, and then they're back into that space of joy and love.
Right.
But as an adult, we hold on to it and we let it fester. And we believe, of course, that it's somebody else's fault. They're to blame, and they're the ones that have caused this. And we go into the projection of them, their story, and how our story is affected by it, instead of actually feeling the emotion. And then as you poignantly did, you allowed it to go through you and into the earth. So you moved it out of you by being authentic and allowing some form of expression. And that was why you were able to transform it. So that, I mean, that's perfect.
It was an incredible experience. And you talk about children, and I absolutely agree that as adults, we hide and bury under a lot of subterfuge a lot of our emotions. So they're not, and they become mixed up in our ego, which you had mentioned is for protection. I'm going to come back to that one. but children in their authenticity, what with children, it's never directed. You know, if somebody hits them, they're going to hit them back. Yes. I mean, that's protection.
Yeah.
But if they're angry, kids in a temper tantrum, more than likely are going to fall on the floor and beat the floor and scream and yell and all those things. It's not really directed at anybody. Whereas people is very much directed. The slightest frustration, I call it the blame game, and you had mentioned that. I call it the blame game. And it's really interesting. Do you think there's a point where we transition, or how we transition from that? Because this is a major pitfall in the journey. So how
did we transform into that?
How do you think we do that?
Well, because we're very much a victim society. So we've been taught from a very early age that, you know, we're a victim. So we're a victim to this and that. And so we've learned that it's not our responsibility. Our emotions are just triggered by, you know, somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never us that gets angry. We're angry at you because you did something to me, right? We're angry at...
You made me.
I mean, we're angry at the government. We're angry at the, you know, all of the institutions. We're angry at school. We're angry. You know, we don't ever take responsibility because we've just been conditioned not to. I mean, it's only through us working through the consciousness, wanting to move into a different place. And even those on a spiritual path have issues with the word responsibility, because it's this word that has an attachment to it. It has a definition to it that doesn't feel freeing. But once you understand that it's actually our responsibility, that nobody out there is doing anything to us, it's just our perception and our response and reaction to what they are doing that is triggering mm-hmm. something inside of us that
right.
is from an old emotional pattern,
right.
then we responsibility becomes freedom.
Absolutely. And what I find quite amazing is this connection. And it's interesting because when we talk, we can make different connections. And it's interesting because as children, we're free.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have this responsibility. However, how children deal with their emotions is much more responsible than most adults. So I'm thinking, you know, when we say there's a definition behind responsibility, and again, we're going what I'm seeing and what I'm trying to, I guess, communicate or understand more, is that responsibility, we've taken that word responsibility and externalized it to other people around us, rather than responsibility to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if we internalize that responsibility and take responsibility for our own emotions, because they are only ours, they are created within our ego, within our mind, they are only ours. So if we take that responsibility for ourselves, then we find that freedom within ourselves, because we can move through those emotions. When we allow that responsibility to be taken on by other people, then the blame game begins to start. So if we all take on that responsibility, there'd be no more blame game, right? Is that kind of...
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if we could understand it and see it from that kind of bigger picture, I think that's the problem, is that we limit everything to this view of reality in this world that we think is real. We've limited all of our experiences to what we see externally as being the real world. And what we see, of course, has all of these experiences that confirm what our beliefs are instead mm-hmm. of, and it's not even, I mean, things happen to people, you know, and
absolutely.
That's, I mean, we can't get around that. We have no control as to what spirit wants for us and what the world is going to do, because there are, I mean, there's a number of things that can happen. And yes, there are a lot of people that think that if they're really connected, you know, they will know mm-hmm. when not to be at a certain place at a certain time so that something doesn't happen.
But something is going to happen whether they're there or not, right?
Exactly.
No.
That will happen. And so, I mean, these are the things. Things are going to happen to us, but right. how we respond to them and how we react to them is huge. And so the question becomes, of all of the things that we are being taught with regards to the secret and how to manifest your life and create the life you're wanting, how much of that plays out? How much of that mm-hmm. is really what is controlling our life? It controls how we respond to our life, how do we react to our life, but it doesn't necessarily, is not necessarily going to change anything around us.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that we need to start looking at, because business has changed. Everything has changed. Everything is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a constant.
That's right.
But it's so different now than what it used to be. And so the question becomes, you know, how do we move in the direction to be where we're supposed to be? And,
mm-hmm.
and I do know that that is getting out of your head, trying to figure it out and mm-hmm. moving back into that stillness within our heart.
Mm.
And that's really the only way we are going to be able to truly, you know, make that deeper connection that we're trying to make.
Because mm-hmm. because what I understand, and this is the whole point of this conversation, is to point out probably the biggest pitfall of everything is how we react to something that's going on around us. Now, those reactions are based on our pre-programmed behavior, our environmental experience, all of the things that have shaped us,
mm-hmm.
probably up to, you know, our teenagers, pre-puberty.
And as I like to remind a lot of women especially, and men as well, we are also, as we're born, coming into the collective unconscious. And so there are a lot of things that we, interactions that occur that we don't even understand where they came from. But, mm-hmm. you know, as a woman to come into her power, I mean, that's huge because history the last few thousand of years have what's the word?
Annihilated.
That's the word.
No, we don't even want to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and it's still happening. And it's still mm-hmm. happening, you know, in different cultures around the world.
It's incredible because that shift in the Earth's history. Because prior to that, it was very much the mother. And there are even still mm-hmm. some traditions where, you know, the traditions are handed down through the mother, or the lineage is handed down through the mother. And that's the connection. Maybe as a gay man, I might be a little bit closer to that, but I don't know. But definitely have, you know, what would be considered more of those moon energies.
Yeah.
And I tend to avoid kind of putting them into
male-female
yeah. roles just because of the stereotypes that sure. are engendered as soon as we say those words. And it's interesting because you talk about women in their power and walking into their power. And I've been very lucky in my life because I think a great number or majority of the women that I know are very powerful and very secure in their power and very confident in that. And, you know, people say certain things, well, women are like this. And I'm going, that's not the women I know. And maybe it's just those women, but I've been lucky in having that and in having those relationships because mm-hmm. they've helped to access certain things in me. When we're talking about the walls and masks, these masks and walls aren't just of our own making.
Right.
You know, they're very much so. So we're given a mask as soon as we pop out of the womb, kind of thing.
As we come down to, you know, our mother.
In vitro, yeah. When we drop in.
As we drop in her aura, we come down with, you know, the collective unconscious, the culture of whatever your mother is, mm-hmm. the lineage of your mother, the city, the geographical area.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we get all of your mother's stuff because in her aura. So all mm-hmm. of her fears, all of her beliefs, all of that mm-hmm. stuff then gets downloaded into us. And then we get to start our own life.
Yes.
And we get to start, and you know, of course, most of that, the mother and father, most of our beliefs, you know, they say happen within the first 6 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that is very much the integral family dynamic that we, you know,
are socializing. Yeah. Our socializing skills and you know, I just find it really fascinating to be able to have that experience in life. And it's interesting because you say from our mothers, and my mother has told me a great story. She had a recurring dream. And it was always this little man who was falling out of the sky, and he fell onto a church steeple. My father was a paratrooper. And they got married in the church, which was the steeple that it was in. So it was really quite a lovely story. So part of my heritage as well is the dreamer and a lot of the messages that I get from my dreams. So that's one thing that I can take from that. There's other aspects that, you know, as we grow up and we go on this journey that rebel against certain aspects of our parents. And one of my biggest lessons was probably discernment that I didn't pick up on as I was growing up. But that's something that's definitely a big plus right now. In being able to see that, and part of it is creating that space. So how have you shaped your path in moving that, and some of the pitfalls, how have you kind of managed around those, or insights you might have had into them? As Laurie goes, oh, sacred Tim, we only have an hour.
You know, I think it is an ongoing journey. Mm-hmm. And the more, I know that the key is the more you surrender, the more you can acknowledge when your mind jumps back into those responses and reactions that it likes so much, mm-hmm. because of the fears and the pain and the struggle and how things are changing so dramatically. You have the stronger and more tenacious you have to be in saying, you know what, thank you for mm-hmm. reminding me about the bills that I have to pay. Mm-hmm. However, you know, that's not going to help me right now. And thank you for being there to show me that these need to be done. It's a very important part of mm-hmm. life.
Right.
But the anxiety and the fear and the pain and the struggle, that is in no way going to assist me mm-hmm. in getting anywhere.
Right.
So from now on, instead of you taking the driver's seat, I'm going to try for a little while to have you be in a supportive role and to, you know, drop into my heart and allow my heart to be in the driver's seat and mm-hmm. to be more in charge of what's going on. So not to be in that responsive, reactive, volatile, emotional mm-hmm. space, even though there will be times where authentically we need to express ourselves. We can get angry. Mm-hmm. We can say, hey, you know what? This isn't okay. And we mm-hmm. can have a temper tantrum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. Why the hell not?
But to get caught up in it every mm-hmm. month, every time, mm-hmm. and to worry incessantly about mm-hmm. it, does nothing for your well-being. Eventually, it will affect your health. It will affect all the areas that you need to balance mm-hmm. to allow things to flow. And I'm not sure how this is going to turn out and what is going to happen over the next little while, but this mm-hmm. is, I am so consciously surrendering right now that, and going into that heart space. And even this morning when, you know, something happened and I felt myself wanting to vent my anger, mm-hmm. you know, when I did go into that heart space, it was, well, is that really who you are? Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want to express? And it was like, oh, crap. No. No, maybe not.
I did a minute ago. You know,
it would really feel good to just blast them right now. Are you sure? Fine. Really? All right.
Well, because it's really interesting, because we're talking about A, responsibility and control. And it's only through responsibility and control that we find the freedom. Now, and you had mentioned something earlier about the ego and the mind. And absolutely, they pay a great deal of it. And you said the ego is there for protection. Now, sometimes I can think of it, it's part of who we are.
No, it's definitely part of who we are. As long as we're in this world, it is part of who we are.
So is it, it is who we are, it's part of who we are, so we can't separate it, but sort of it is separated. Is it protection, or is it trying to maintain its own life? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, there are a lot of people that think that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't believe that anymore. I think mm-hmm. that our ego is truly there very much like a computer program. Mm-hmm. We have certain responses and reactions through an emotional response and reaction to things that right. happened in our life.
Based on neural pathways that have been
exactly.
made.
Our experiences right. mm-hmm. and yep. our beliefs create our experiences, and mm-hmm. all of these things happen. And our experience is perceptional, 100%.
That's right. mm-hmm.
Things happen.
Yeah.
How we respond and react to them are what create that experience and that emotional charge.
Right.
So the ego identifies immediately. So it's like most of our stuff, because our conscious mind is really what they say. It's only like 5%, where 95% is in our unconscious. So most of this stuff is stored in our unconscious, and our ego is like this bridge from our unconscious to our conscious. And as soon as something gets triggered, our ego goes, uh-oh, and it's like an alarm goes off, and it brings its brings the storage from the unconscious and into our conscious to start reacting. Now, that's if we're conscious enough to even start looking at it and start observing it.
Right. So we can look at it as involuntary actions, for example, for our heart. That keeps going. So it's not a conscious control. It can be.
Well, we don't want it to be. I mean, there are lots of things, our mind, we don't, our brain, we don't really want control over.
But just to kind of create kind of
a picture.
So we have, you know, the heart can beat on its own, or we can have control over it. So when we look at the unconscious and the conscious, we can look at them in kind of physical terms in that way.
Sure.
Just to kind of give, because I think we're in this physical world, and this is another thing that I'd like to ask you about as well. Because, you know, we think, a lot of people think of the ego as a separate entity. We have the physical body as a separate entity. Then we have our energy that's a separate entity.
And now, our emotional body and our mental body. And
you know, I don't think I'm schizophrenic, but you're actually making me think I am. or is it me?
Right.
No. Oh, it's you. So integrating all of those things, because one can't work without the other. I don't believe so.
Right.
Does that make sense to you, that they can't work? One can't work independently of the other.
Yeah.
Because if one doesn't work, and from my experience, I know when there's a disconnect between we'll call it the energy or my purpose in life or my connection to whatever word you want to call it. When I separate it from that and buried a lot of those things, I got really sick.
Right.
And it was irritable bowel disorder. And I think, and as I think of that right now, what's going on with the earth. You got the volcanoes and the ash, you know, up in Iceland and out the back end down in the Gulf of Mexico, you got, you know, the oil coming out.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, vomiting and diarrhea coming out both ends. But in that process, I ended up coming out the other side of it with like way better than I was when I went into it. Because I had integrated all of those things. So when we talk about that on the spiritual journey, because this is another pitfall, is that separation. You know, and we've talked about that separation. Our beliefs can separate us. So when we talk about that, how in that process, how do you see that process? How do you see that separation? How do you integrate those things? Or do you see an integration in those things?
Like between our ego and our mind and our emotional body and our mental body. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The schizophrenic self.
And that's when we find it difficult to separate, right? That is when, I mean, our whole planet is based on separation and everything in it is based on separation. And so we've been able to separate out every compartment of our lives and every aspect of our lives. And we don't...
All the different groups that we belong to.
Yes, and we're not sure how to integrate any of them into the being that we are. So, but I do honestly believe that they can all work cohesively together. And I think as long as we are understanding that and not trying to necessarily separate everything out, that we can move into that. But then again, it's that really conscious part of ourselves that have to say, okay, what, you know, how does my spirit, and I always call it my soul, is my connection. My soul is what's connected to my body that is within my heart. And and my spirit is, my soul is the connection that takes me to my spirit, which is the oneness. So as a soul, we are still individuated aspects the bigger spirit, which is the oneness.
Right.
And so that even then we have individuation. So even then we have separation. And then, of course, you know, we talk and we channel and, you know, we bring in ascended masters or, you know, other things, which is, again, separating out. And then we have guides, and it's, you know, it's really fascinating. I did an interview with nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell.
Okay.
And so, although we come from very, very different worlds, what I love about Tom is that he is able to talk about love. And, I mean, when he talks about consciousness, it's data.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so for him, you know, what he sees streaming is data, because he sees it from a nuclear physicist perspective.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's all data. So guides, everything is just data.
It's waves. It's energy waves. However
exactly.
However you want to measure
it. We have made it and defined it, and we have created it in a way that...
we prettied it up and created little stories.
And we've made it separate.
Right. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so this is the time that we're in, is how do we learn to bring them all together? I mean, which is even worse, because we've got the ego, and then, you know, for those on a spiritual path, then we can create this spiritual ego, which, let me tell you, can be a real problem with our development. Because when we get the spiritual ego, we think we know everything. It's really quite wonderful. And so then we have, you know, and so we've compartmentalized everything. Mm-hmm. And so we need to find that cohesiveness and the threads that weave everything together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the journey that we're on, that we've always been on, but it's really, as everything changes, how do we weave the aspects of our life that are going on together? How do we bring the energy so that it's not divided out into these different areas? So how do we get the ego to support?
How do we bring it back to oneness? Yeah,
exactly.
How do we bring it back to a centralization after this segregation?
Yeah,
and departmentalization and compartmentalization and all of those things. And it's interesting because you've mentioned change a couple of times. And even though things are changing, I think one of the biggest fears that people have is about change itself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that you just have to learn to embrace, because that's just it. That's the most constant thing in the universe, is change.
Okay, I understand that completely. I think I do. Okay. I'll say I think I do. I will qualify, because then I don't know if I'm operating from my ego or my spiritual ego or my physical ego or, you know, any one of them. My own perspective.
But as we know, even from an energy perspective, you know, even everything is always changing. I mean, physically our bodies, you know, go through a complete cell regeneration, what, every 7 years or something?
Oh, exactly,
like a complete cell.
We are
not the same person at all, yet because we hold this image and...
So the mind itself is not changing, but everything around it is.
Yeah.
So we have this one constant, or it does change, because it will change. It has to change because our experiences are stored there. So there is... Even if it's just an added experience, that is still a change within that.
Right.
Our physical bodies are constantly changing, because our cells are dying and new cells are coming back. And it was interesting, you're talking about the nuclear physicist. They just discovered a new star that emits calcium.
Okay, cool.
And this was, I think, in Waterloo, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in Canada. It was Canadian University, and I'm sorry if I don't remember which one it is. But they were talking about the star that they found, and all of the calcium in our bodies, every single person on this planet.
Has calcium from this star?
From this star, throughout the entire universe. I was watching another, and we're talking about kind of bringing things back to one, and I was watching Ancients Behaving Badly. And they were talking about descendants and how people are sharing DNA. Now, they are supposing that it's Genghis Khan, but one in every 200 people on Earth share the same DNA from a Mongolian who was born about 1,000 years ago. So that's 32 million people.
Really?
that can trace themselves back to this single individual, Mongolian, 1,000 years ago, and they're saying it could be Genghis Khan because, you know, the story about him is that, you know, he got around. Yeah. which I find. So here we have two things, you know, and we also know that through evolution, you know, if we look at a scientific basis of it, that current knowledge or current realizations or what we understand at this moment in time is that humanity itself started in Central Africa.
Right.
So, and from there, they migrated to different areas around the world, but everything started. And that's, you know, and that will change because things have changed. Maybe it won't. But that's where we as a species started from. So again, we're going back. This is one. So we spent all of this millennium from this one point, separating ourselves to find our individuality, only to find we're still just part of this one thing. Yeah. So get over it.
Yeah.
So I find that, you know, we have this aspects and I find science really fascinating. So thanks for bringing up Tom. It's really fascinating how science separated spirituality or separated from spirituality. And that's been a process. And what we're finding is that, that duality and that separation is now probably coming back a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in all of that, here are the pitfalls that we encounter along that way. And we try and find ourselves homes in the different, you know, groups that we organized. And, you know, we only have to look at social networking to see how prolific they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and still trying to bring things together. So in your belief, so we've talked about the mind and how that goes. And I'm also wondering, as a spiritual traveler and somebody who works with energy, how you perceive the world around you from both the physical and spiritual aspect and how you're integrating that in your life. Is that kind of making sense? Is that...
Oh.
Or trying? Or creating an awareness of it? Or trying to integrate it? Is that kind of a better way to try and ask an unanswerable question?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what you're looking for in this particular case, although, you know, how... I mean, I can certainly bring the aspects together and see things in a bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
and see how it is all interconnected in some ways, although mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's what you're asking or not.
Let's try it this way. There are some, and you're talking about the spiritual ego.
Yes. Yes, okay. One of my favies.
Okay, so now we have the spiritual ego. So people on this path, they have a spiritual ego. Are they forgetting their physical body?
There is a huge community that I would call the New Age community that most definitely are not grounded. And there are a lot of teachers and leaders out there that aren't grounded. And... you know, is that spiritual ego or is it spiritual bypass?
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is that if we do not combine mind, body, and spirit in a way that balances each, we are not living our life. Like, we came here on a physical planet to experience the physicality of this planet, to enjoy the richness of our emotions and, you know, all of the beauty that is here.
Mm-hmm.
If we are not grounded in our bodies, how are we doing that? Like, we're just up in the ethers and we, you know, we're enjoying from that perspective, which is wonderful. It can be.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also not...
you're not participating.
You're not only not participating, you're not... getting it. Like, you're not, you're not in the dance. You're not, mm-hmm. you're not in your body and understanding that it's not just that spiritual dimension that is evolving. I mean, mm-hmm. it's to evolve all of us. So when it used to be that the spiritual gurus, you know, lived on a mountaintop or in their ashram or, you know, that was great and probably very necessary mm-hmm. for those times. Now we've got how many gurus on the planet right now? How many, you know, avatars on the planet right now?
Mm-hmm. Self-proclaimed or real?
Okay, well, yes, both. But there's also, you know, it's not, you know, it used to be that to find a guru in a lifetime mm-hmm. was very auspicious.
Right.
Now yeah. you can, like, walk out the door. Well, we sort of went off the air there again. Let's try this last 10 minutes here. And we were just talking about how the world is sort of filled with gurus. And mm-hmm. I guess you wanted to bring up a point, and I don't know if I had mentioned it yet, about, you know, whether we're in spiritual ego or spiritual bypass, but mm-hmm. I think we'd already spoken about that a wee bit.
And I find it interesting, because when we talk about the spiritual journey and the renunciation, and maybe it's because of religion and people thinking that you can't be a spiritual person if you have a physical self. In that way, a physical self in that way. And we're talking about the integration. So, and I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, a choice has been made. You know, we drop into this physical world, this material world. And along the path, so one of the pitfalls is forgetting, I guess, that we actually have a physical body as well. Mm-hmm. That needs to be nourished just like our emotional body. And our soul body. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that is really huge in the whole understanding of what we're kind of doing right now, is how we've, because we have decompartmentalized everything and we've separated everything out, you know, my belief is what we're heading towards, if whether enlightenment is the goal, and, you know, I think the gurus have made it this elusive path that we're on, and it makes it sound like it's something that is only achievable if you spend your life on a mountaintop or mm-hmm. in an ashram mm-hmm. and I believe that it's truly having full body presence. It's not only not decompartmentalizing everything, but it's truly being in the now and allowing your body to be your gauge, because your mm-hmm. body is the gateway to all of the senses. And there is some belief out there that you know, all of our senses lead you into the different dimensions. And mm-hmm. you know, is it Steiner who believes that there are 12 senses? The okay. one who did the Montessori type school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He believes that there are 12 senses, and I know that I'm going to do an interview with Mark Borax mm-hmm. When his new book comes out, and he okay. is going to touch on the 12 senses and how they relate. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's really the full body presence that will allow not only us to really connect with our intuition, but to be more connected with everything.
That's right.
So yes, that we yeah. can feel the earth and feel the roots of a tree and be in that, you know, that juiciness of mm-hmm. life, and it's not this detachment that we are all so
separate.
Yes. And that
lost.
And that everybody is teaching us that this is what you need to do. You mm-hmm. need to detach. Well, you need to detach from that attachment.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Because yeah. if we are attached to it happening a certain mm-hmm. way, and this is our control, and this is how the ego right. needs yeah. to be in control, is that we need it to be done a certain way. We need to earn a certain income. We need to, you know, all of these things that they're must, they're shoulds, they're, mm-hmm. they're a way of us controlling everything.
That's right. And controlling each other as well.
Absolutely.
So it becomes a whole circle of everything moving around. And it's interesting, you're talking about moving and feeling the earth, another incredible experience. working with animals, so mm-hmm. energetically with animals, or just being with animals, and seeing how farmers interact with their animals. And, you know, animals aren't much different than us. You know, if we go into a place and we're loud, we're going to see people scatter around us. You know, animals are a little bit more sensitive. And over the past week, I was away and had the opportunity to feel the difference of walking through animals with that, call it the spiritual bypass, just working from way up mm-hmm. in the higher vibrating or faster vibrating energy centers, and then walking with the animals and through the animals and being into the earth, and the difference and the calmness that was around the animals and the acceptance. Absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fascinating to see and to feel that. Right. And again, it's very experiential. And I think probably another pitfall that we can get into is that we look to books and knowledge and that separation of mm-hmm. master and teacher and student, and everybody learns from each other in the world that I live in my head. might not always come out that way. But so we lose all of that and making that connection. So it was really, it's wild to, mm-hmm. to see that, and how we can, so very much about the experience, and we can take a book and think that we have the knowledge.
Right.
So again, would you consider that, again, the spiritual ego or just the ego itself? Where did we make the separation from that?
You know, I think learning, I mean, we always need to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the more we read, the more we keep our mind active, and we as a society typically, I find it fascinating because I'm going to be doing an interview with somebody who's kind of looked at the body, and usually we're in perfect harmony mm-hmm. when we're first born. Mm-hmm. And as we grow older, we start to decline to the point when we die, usually our body gives way and goes with it. Mm-hmm. Where our minds, usually, especially in our childhood, grow rapidly. And when we get to a certain point, and it sort of stays stagnant. Mm-hmm. So reading allows our mind to continue to be active and to grow. Mm-hmm. And usually it's our spirituality that later in life starts to grow, and it ascends the highest.
Right.
Where the mind sort of levels out and the body descends. And his point is that we need to get everything to ascend to come into that self-realization or that enlightenment state. But that's the goal now, that mm-hmm. is that we get, and so that'll be an interesting interview.
Awesome. Incredible.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I'm not sure if we got this on the last little bit as well, but you were talking about the 12 senses as well, and that's
right.
another interview that you have coming up. So I just
yes.
wanted to get back
yes.
to that as well. So I'm yes. not sure if we got that out there.
Yeah.
Which I find really fascinating, because we have the 6 senses, but then if we look at the duality aspect of it, then there's 12 right there, just as a, and I don't even know what this is all
right.
about, so.
Yes. Yeah, no, that might be part of it, too. I have looked into it a little bit, and, you know, I mean, apparently the ego is one of the senses, so
yes,
it's
okay.
it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very intricately connected, and how we separate out each of our compartments that... Mm-hmm. We need to bring back into alignment.
Yeah. And we can have all these compartments and all these drawers, but I mean, at some point, they're all part of one dresser.
Well, and we have to find those weaves to bring them all together, so that we are fully here and not, you know, off on a mountaintop somewhere, because
exactly.
we need to be here. This is where it's happening. It's not.
And
it's happening, sure, on a mountaintop too, but it's a little bit isolated.
Yeah, and I think part of the growth and in order to learn about the pitfalls and to work through them, we need that interaction with other people.
Yeah.
So setting yourself on a mountaintop, you might meet, you know, your soul face to face, but at what detriment or what is the cost against that?
Yeah.
And learning to do that within the world around us and where you are right now.
Because, you know, it's really tempting to just, you know, leave and go up to a mountaintop. And, you know, there's been many times where I thought, wow, I could really do that right now.
What
I'd
time
really
is it
like
now?
To.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What time
Let's
is it
just
now?
Escape. But see, that's it.
That's it. It
is. I also know that it's just an escape.
Mm-hmm. And there you go. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, so that's, and that's basically what I wanted to talk about today, was just to get those ideas out there.
Right.
So that people can see that, you know, there's pitfalls in everything, but it's A, our responsibility and how we control ourselves that allows us to achieve a balance. And within that balance, we can find the freedom from all of that.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that was simple enough.
It was. We not quite sure what's going on technically with the day, but hey, we've got pretty much an hour here, so we're good. Well, Tim, always a pleasure.
Always, Lori. Thank you so much.
And any idea what's happening next month?
I have a musician and artist planned for next month. And hopefully that's going to work out. She's going back to work. She's doing some recording right now. Her name is Nicole Legace. And I listened to some of her stuff on the weekend and thought it was fabulous. She has a great story. NicoleLegace.com is her website.
Cool.
So I'm pretty sure she's going to be here next month. it's always interesting what's going to happen. So
All right. Tune
in for your surprise.
All right. Well, thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Laurie.